Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you very much. The vast majority of those who claim to be Christians, even if they do not accept the true gospel of Christ, endorse the concept that men are saved by faith. They may accept the Calvinistic doctrine of faith only, but they know from the Scriptures that faith is fundamental to the Christian system. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. According to Paul, Christians walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Peter encouraged his readers to add to their faith the Christian graces, virtue, knowledge, self-control, endurance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. 2 Peter 1, 5-7. If a person does not have faith, he cannot add the Christian graces to his faith. If he does not add them to his faith, he is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. 2 Peter 1, 9. Dr. Ron Rhodes, a highly respected cult expert, has written a book with the title, The Challenge of the Cults and New Religions. There are excellent chapters in the book on Jehovah's Witnesses, on the mind sciences, on the New Age movement, on oneness Pentecostalism, on Freemasonry, and on Satanism. In his chapter on oneness Pentecostalism, Dr. Rhodes makes some outlandish statements regarding salvation. He says, for example, maintaining holiness is not a condition of salvation. Page 274. It makes one wonder if he has ever read these simple but powerful words from Hebrews. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. He says, in effect, if we have to maintain holiness, we're not saved by grace alone. Page 274. If his observation is correct, the author of Hebrews was disputing the doctrine of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone. If we must be holy, and you know we must, then the doctrine of grace alone is false. Dr. Rhodes claims that salvation is said to be by faith alone about 200 times in the New Testament. He mentions a number of passages that teach salvation by faith alone, according to his view, such as John 11:25. Our Lord said to Martha, whose brother Lazarus had died, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Maybe I am blind to what the passage teaches, but I cannot see the doctrine of faith alone in that passage. Can you? Dr. Rhodes overlooked a verse that speaks of faith alone or faith only, depending on the translation. Will you please listen with an open heart? You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith alone. James 2:24. Earlier in the chapter, James wrote, Even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. James 2:17. The tenses of the verbs in this passage are very significant. Even so faith, if it keeps on not having works, keeps on being dead, being alone. There are many ways of showing that the doctrine of faith alone is not biblical. But I have chosen today to review the great examples of faith the author of Hebrews discusses. I want to show that all of the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 were men whose faith was obedient. In every case, they did something to have God's approval. They did not just say they had faith. They had real faith. Faith that led them to do exactly what God required them to do. If one's faith does not lead him to do what God says in the way God says it, it is not saving faith. I shall begin our discussion with Abel and examine as many of these faithful men of God as time allows. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks. Hebrews 11:4. We have no record of God's telling Cain and Abel the kind of sacrifice he wanted from them. But we know he did not leave them to guess. Paul provides the information we need about Cain and Abel. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. If God had not instructed Cain and Abel about the sacrifices he demanded, they could have offered whatever pleased them. But he told them what he expected. Cain did what many modern religious people do. He did what was convenient and what was right in his own eyes. After all, Cain was a farmer. Does it not make sense that he would offer the fruit of his labors? Abel followed God's instructions and offered an animal sacrifice, a sacrifice that speaks even today of Abel's righteousness. He was righteous only because he obeyed the voice of the Lord. What message does Abel have for the people who live under the new covenant? His life serves as an example of the attitude and action that please God Almighty. If we want to have God's approval, as Abel had, we must believe and do what God says. There is no possibility of getting the doctrine of faith only from the record of Abel's life. Abel believed God and offered an acceptable sacrifice to him. Had he simply believed, would the author of Hebrews have used him as an example of what it means to live by faith? One of the most unusual characters in the Bible was a man named Enoch. We know so little about him. Moses writes, "And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years, and he begot sons and daughters. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Genesis 5:22-24. The author of Hebrews adds, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God." Hebrews 11:5. I believe it is in order for me to formulate a number of questions based on these passages from Genesis and Hebrews. What did Moses mean by the expression, "Enoch walked with God"? What does walking with God involve? We know it is impossible to please God without faith, Hebrews 11:6. But in the case of Enoch, did pleasing God mean only that he believed in God? Do the terms walking with God and pleasing God demand obedience? Is it even remotely possible that Enoch could have walked with God and pleased him if his faith had been of the faith-only variety? You should have no difficulty answering any of these questions. The inspired text is too plain for anyone to miss its true import. Noah lived in one of the most ungodly and immoral periods in human history. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. Genesis 6:5. God chose a good man to preach to that generation. In spite of the enormous wickedness on the earth, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Genesis 6:8-9. Why of all the people living on the face of God's earth did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? I know he was a just man and walked with God, but what does that mean? The book of Hebrews sheds considerable light on my questions. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Hebrews 11:7. For Bible believers, there is no debating the fact that Noah lived by faith. Do you get the impression, either from Genesis 6 or from Hebrews 11, that Noah only believed? Was there not more in his life than faith? Take special note of two expressions. He moved with fear and prepared an ark. If he had not moved with fear and prepared an ark, would he and his family have been saved from the worldwide flood that God sent on the earth? If the author of Hebrews meant what he said, and you know he did, then Noah's salvation was not by faith only. If modern men are saved by faith only, why did the Holy Spirit use Noah as an example of what it means to live by faith? Abraham was unquestionably one of the most remarkable men who ever lived. James called Abraham the friend of God. James 2:23. James was no doubt referring to a statement from the Old Testament. Jehoshaphat stood before the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem and asked, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven, and rulest thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand are there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before thy people Israel, and gavest it the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? 2 Chronicles 20:5-7. Is it possible to discover from our reading of the Scriptures why God would call Abraham his friend forever? Did Abraham have faith in the living God and in his promises? If you have any doubt about Abraham's faith, it can arise from one of two sources, either ignorance of the Word or disbelief. I plan to read several verses about Abraham from Hebrews 11, but I shall read just one verse at this time. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Hebrews 11:8. That is a remarkable statement about Abraham, but not so remarkable as what I shall read in a very short time. The main clause of that sentence in Hebrews 11:8 should remove forever any reliance on the doctrine of faith only. It reads, by faith Abraham obeyed. Does that truth provide some insight into why Abraham is called the friend of God and the father of all who believe? Romans 4:11. Would he have been the friend of God and the father of all who believe had he not obeyed? Was obedience just incidentally mentioned, or was it vital to Abraham's faith? Is there any possibility of having genuine faith without obedience? When Paul affirmed, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1, must we conclude that obedience must be involved for faith to be genuine? What great faith was required for Abraham to leave his homeland in southern Mesopotamia, his family and friends, and go at God's command? God did not tell him where he was going. He just said, go, and Abraham went. We're sometimes given commands we may not understand, but if we have the faith of Abraham, we will do whatever God says. There are people who say, I do not understand why God tells men and women to be baptized. I have no idea why he demands baptism of those who will be saved, but I know he does. That ought to be sufficient for all who want to do the will of God. If we had to completely understand the mind of God, we would have to be God. None of us qualifies for that exalted position. The author of Hebrews further states concerning Abraham, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11:9-10. We do not possess a complete record of God's revelation to Abraham. We know he and his heirs were promised the land of Canaan. We also know that Abraham never really inherited the land. Abraham's ultimate goal was to find the eternal city where God dwells. Should that not also be our goal? Will we inherit the celestial city if we do not have an obedient faith just like the faith of Abraham. Hebrews mentions the faith of Sarah, who delivered a child in her old age, because she judged God to be faithful to His promise. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. Hebrews 11:11-16. One of the greatest examples of faith in the life of Abraham was his willingness to sacrifice his only son, the son of promise, at God's demand. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Hebrews 11:17. Did you notice the tense of the verb offered? The text does not say he thought about offering Isaac, or he was about to offer Isaac. It says he offered up Isaac. The verb is in the perfect tense and indicates an accomplished fact. But he did not actually kill his son, did he? As a matter of fact, he did not. But in his mind, the deed was as good as done. God had promised Abraham that he would be a great nation. And yet God was asking him to offer his son through whom the promises were to be realized. The second use of the word offer is in the imperfect tense and should read, he was offering or ready to offer. Abraham was in the process of offering Isaac when God intervened. Actually, Isaac was not Abraham's only son, but the one through whom the promises were to be fulfilled. As you know from your reading of the inspired record, Abraham and Sarah were old people when they were given a son. Since Isaac was the son of promise, it would have been unusual if they had not totally devoted themselves to Isaac. Can you imagine the sorrow in the heart of that old father as he led his son to the place where he would kill him and sacrifice him to God? As a father, I can think of many excuses why I would not want to comply with the Lord's wishes. If any of those thoughts ever entered the mind of Abraham, we have no record of it. With a heavy heart, Abraham obeyed the Lord's command. How could anyone speak of the faith of Abraham as being of the faith-only variety? I'm fully aware that Abraham's faith was counted to him for righteousness. That was because he did not hesitate to do God's bidding. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Abraham was in the act of offering to God his son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall your seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Hebrews 11:18-19. Did Abraham have a revelation from God concerning a resurrection of the dead? We're not told, but these verses show just how Abraham, without reservation, trusted in his God. He knew somehow God would make good his promise about Isaac, but he did not know how. He could not have known how. What a wonderful example Abraham is for Christians in every generation. If we have the faith of Abraham, we're going to abide by God's demands, regardless of what those demands are. Hebrews 11 has a brief discussion of the faith of Isaac, of Jacob, and of Joseph. But I shall pass over these men for the time being and spend time examining the faith of Moses. Early in the book of Hebrews, we're told, Moses was faithful in his house as a servant for a testimony of those things that were spoken after. Hebrews 3:5. Please listen to these words. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Hebrews 11:23. It ought to be obvious that the faith of this verse was not the faith of Moses, but of his parents, Amram and Jochebed. They knew the Pharaoh's decision to kill children among the Israelites. They were determined to save their child for service in God's kingdom. So they hid him 3 months and were not afraid of the king's commandment. Did they know they could have lost their lives by defying the orders of the Egyptian Pharaoh? They knew, but their faith in God gave them courage to save their son. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hebrews 11:24-25. How Moses knew he was a Hebrew and not an Egyptian remains a mystery. Could he have learned of his Hebrew origin from his own mother? After all, she nursed him for the Egyptian princes during the first few years of his life. What great faith and courage it took for Moses to identify with the Hebrew slaves in Goshen. One tradition says that Moses was probably the crown prince in Egypt. That is, he could have been the next Pharaoh had he chosen to be. I have no idea how reliable that tradition is, but I know it still required great faith to turn his back upon the riches and the power of Egypt to become a slave among the despised Hebrew slaves. Moses knew how little regard the Egyptians had for the slaves in Goshen. They probably had more respect and affection for their horses and cows than they had for the Hebrew slaves. The slaves endured great oppression. Thousands of them died from extremely difficult work, from lack of rest, and from being beaten to death. Why would an intelligent man choose to identify with the slaves rather than cast his lot with the powerful and the best educated nation on the face of God's earth? Riches, pleasures, and power were to be found among the Egyptians, not among the slaves in Goshen. Anyone who can find the doctrine of faith only in these verses can see more than I can. If faith does not require obedience, why did the Holy Spirit include the faith and obedience of Moses? We do not know, because the divine record does not tell us, how Moses learned of the great promises of God. But we know this: he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Hebrews 11:26. Does the expression, reproach of Christ, mean the reproach Christ suffered, or the reproach we suffer because of our commitment to Christ? Every Bible student knows that our Lord suffered reproach, and that Christ's followers have to suffer also. By faith Moses was willing to suffer for his Lord and for the Lord's people. Can you harmonize the life of Moses with the doctrine of faith only? We can understand why he made the choice to serve the living God. He had respect unto the recompense of reward. Like Abraham, Moses looked for a city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He knew by faith that God had prepared for him and for other faithful Hebrews the city that he and Abraham sought. By faith Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians attempted to do and were drowned. Hebrews 11:27-29. The biblical record of the life of Moses does not picture Moses as a perfect man. He had human flaws like the rest of us. But few men in the history of the world have shown greater faith than Moses. What do we learn about faith from the great lawgiver? Is there even the slightest hint in the divine record that Moses illustrates the doctrine of faith alone? Moses unquestionably believed the promises of God, although we do not have a record of what those promises were. The Bible does not try to hide the sins of Moses, but we know he walked by faith, not by sight. For Moses, walking by faith meant listening to God and then doing what God commanded. Does it not mean that for God's children in the Christian era? Please listen to the Apostle John. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. 1 John 5, 2 and 3. The author of Hebrews had not exhausted the list of the heroes of the faith. If time and space had permitted, he would like to have told about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and some of the other great prophets. He writes concerning the faithful servants of God, not about them individually, but as an aggregate. Through faith they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, a bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were cut in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Hebrews 11, 33 through 40. There are many expressions in this reading that deserve further discussion, but I shall mention just one. The inspired author said concerning these faithful servants of God, they wrought righteousness. Hebrews 11, 33. The New American Standard Bible renders that phrase, they performed acts of righteousness. Dr. Hugo McCord translates it, they did what is right. The word wrought is a translation of the Greek ergazomai and means to work, to produce, to perform. Peter used the same Greek word when he told Cornelius, in every nation, he who fears God and works righteousness is accepted of him. Acts 10, 35. If one has to work righteousness, he is not saved by faith alone. If you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, will you not confess your faith before men? Repent of the sins that separate you from God, and this day be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Our Lord invites you to come to Him for rest. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Will you come to Him today? Tomorrow might be too late. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you.